From CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. A week after a massive explosion at a fireworks facility in Esparto killed 7 people and injured 2 others, some big questions remain about the cause of the blast, whether the deaths could have been prevented, and how a similar event can be prevented in the future. CAL FIRE is the lead investigating agency. We invited the state fire marshal on the show today, but they were unable to join us. So we're going to spend some time learning from those who work in this field. Richard Meyer is a veteran fire and explosion investigator who travels across the country. He has no involvement with this case in Esparto, but offered an independent perspective. When you saw the explosion happen in Esparto in Yolo County, what were some of the initial questions that came to mind when you were seeing what happened unfold?
Well, the first question that came to my mind was, was anybody hurt? And unfortunately, yes, people were hurt and were killed. My thoughts and prayers go out to the families of the victims. After that, I've done a little bit of research after the accident and, looking at Google Maps and things like that. And one of the things I noticed is that this facility, it's pretty well tightly packed in. And that's one of the things, when you're storing a lot of explosives, whether it be fireworks or pyrotechnics or, construction explosives, generally speaking, you want to keep that stuff spaced apart. The image I saw on Google Maps, now granted that is not a current image, that's a sometime in the past from satellite image. We have a long, narrow building, and behind that was at least 20 40-foot storage containers. So you're talking in the order of, each one of those storage containers might hold 20 tons of materials. So times 20, that's 400, plus whatever's in the building. So you're talking a lot of materials. Generally speaking, when you're in a situation like this, you want to keep those materials spaced apart. And that's based on, not just the standards, but also my experience. It's one of my past lives, I was a truck driver in the Army, and I deliver ammunition. And whether it be at a peacetime ammunition facility or, out in the field, we would take those containers and we would space those a good distance apart. And generally speaking, they would take bulldozers and push up earthen berms between them. So if one of those were to catch fire or to explode, it wouldn't spread to the other ones. And that's generally what the requirements are when you get into large quantities of explosives. That's handled by, those requirements are put out by the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, the ATI.
How common are explosions like the one in Esparto?
To my knowledge, not very common. I have investigated one previous incident at a fireworks warehouse, and that was a consumer fireworks warehouse in the Midwest that there was a fire that spread to a couple of sections. But generally speaking, you don't hear about this happening too often.
When it comes to the ignition that needed to take place for this explosion to actually happen, what are some of the causes of a spark or something igniting a firework in a facility like this?
Well, that is the big question. And it's it could be, I know there's been some brush fires in the area. I know there's could be a structure fire. It could be something that was happening at that facility. Well, you figure this was, July 1st that it happened on? Well, you're talking a couple of days before 4th of July, so they would be getting ready to assemble and move fireworks to the various shows that they were going to be putting on. So there may have been some activity going on there that could have generated the ignition source for this. In addition, one of the requirements is that fireworks shouldn't be stored near ignition sources, and ignition sources should not be used near fireworks. So, if there's anything going on, cutting, welding, or grinding, anything like that, fixing a trailer so you can load everything up and put it on. But at this point, it's just pure speculation. But, there are the amount of heat it actually takes to light the fuse for a firework is very minimal. It's, when I was a kid, we used to use punks, basically like an incense stick kind of thing. And that was enough to light the fuses. So some sparks, some heat source that shouldn't be there. It's hard to say, but it doesn't take much.
As an investigator, how would you go about investigating this? And you mentioned that you've done this before.
Right. In this, well, I have done large fires and explosions, not necessarily large, with one exception, one large fireworks facilities. But when we're investigating or a fire explosion, there's a couple of primary sources of information that we use. One would be witness information. And that might be critical in this case because of the fact that there's been so much damage from the fireworks. You know, you've had numerous explosions. You've had a fire that was burning for days. So there may not be evidence left there to look at. Beyond that, we would be looking for the patterns, and that is, you know, fires and explosions, they leave marks. And in the case of explosions, it may be, okay, where are things scattered from? Where were they stored at the time before they were scattered? And that might give you an indication of, you know, where was the first explosion? Or we may be looking at fire patterns, as in, you know, the marks that are actually left by the burning materials that are there. And then explosion dynamics, which I sort of described previously, is, you know, it's where are things scattering from and where are they going to?
I guess from what I'm hearing from you, it is possible that we may not get to a cause or learn what the cause of this explosion was, if there isn't much evidence left for investigators to figure that out?
Well, that's actually sort of a yes and no. We may not find the cause of ignition, but we may find the cause of the accident in general, in that, you know, we have too many fireworks stored too close together without any way of mitigating an accident. You know, from the ground level, yeah, we may not find the cause, but from the 50,000 foot level, yes, we may find the cause of the accident in general.
This was also an established company, had been around for decades, had customers that were included in local cities and areas from Marysville to Sutter County. What kind of licensing are pyrotechnic companies supposed to have? I mean, you did mention the federal component with the ATF, but what more is needed to operate a warehouse like this?
Well, generally, that is done on a state and local level, the actual licensing of the operators and the facilities. Now, a very large facility may need federal licensing, that I'm not sure of. But generally, smaller facilities are licensed by the state and by the localities. They would need business permits. They would need storage permits for, you know, large amounts of explosive materials. And then the operations themselves, so the operators, as far as putting in displays, that is generally on a state level. Not every state requires it. In some cases, it's at a city level. In some cases, both.
Hmm. Do you think what happened in Esparto is going to lead to larger changes and conversations within the pyrotechnics and fireworks industry, possibly even more safeguards or legislation or regulation?
Well, I'm sure it will lead to the conversation. As far as long-term change, that is yet to be seen. I've been involved in the code and standard making process for various organizations. It is a slow and laborious process, and you have multiple parties involved that with different particular interests. So we'll see.
Finally, do you think that investigators will be able to find a definitive cause of this explosion?
I don't know. And that's sometimes that is the correct answer in fire investigations. I don't know. It's you either don't have enough evidence to actually say or not enough evidence to actually prove. So I would imagine in a case like this, there may be interest in pursuing not only civil litigation, but also possibly criminal charges. So we'll see how it goes.
Richard, thanks for joining us.
You're welcome.
That was fire and explosion investigator Richard Meyer talking about the ongoing investigation into last week's deadly explosion at a fireworks storage facility in Esparto. He has no involvement with the case, but offered an independent perspective. You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio. Now I want to bring in Julie Heckman. She is the executive director of the American Pyrotechnics Association, which is one of the largest trade associations for the commercial fireworks industry, and she's a member of CAL FIRE's General Fireworks Advisory Committee. Again, CAL FIRE is the lead investigative agency of this incident. We invited them on the show, but they were unable to make it. Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So how long have you worked in this industry?
37 years. I'm also a member of the National Fire Protection Association Technical Committee on Pyrotechnics.
How did you learn about what happened in Esparto last week?
Well, actually, you know, 4th of July is our busiest time of the year. I am on call 24/7 in the event there is some type of incident involving an APA member company who needs some support, but also just doing general firework safety media during the holiday. And one of my board members texted me as soon as it happened, and I was able to tune in and watch the live coverage for about 45 minutes, which was just very unsettling to watch. I'm not certain that was just fireworks, to be quite frank with you. Looking at the structure of that warehouse, that is a very uncommon setup for professional display fireworks. Typically, everything has to align with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives, ATF regulations. And I did not see that just based on my observations of looking at the structure of the warehouse, but also in the performance of just how the explosion occurred. It looked far more energetic than even just professional display fireworks. So I would be curious, since that facility was licensed for agriculture, was there something else there?
Well, I guess that leads to my next question. I mean, there's still a lot of questions that remain, even ones that you have pointed out as well. What happened in Esparto, if we're just focusing solely on the fact that there were fireworks within this warehouse, is a deadly explosion like this, how common is it in your experience in the 30 years you've been in this industry?
It is very, very rare. Typically, when there is an incident, it's either involved in manufacturing, and we don't have very many firework manufacturers in the United States, or it's the preparation of display product, like prior to setup. So the most significant accidents we've occurred, the most common thread, if you will, is the attachment of electric matches or igniters to a display shell. And that is typically done outdoors. Away, you would separate your product. You would work with a very small quantity. In the event something happened, you would not have a mass explosion.
The company involved in this explosion, Devastating Pyrotechnics, are they a member of your association?
No, they are not. I'm not familiar with the name of that company at all.
What are some of the best practices for storing pyrotechnics or fireworks?
Well, you know, I have to agree with the observations that your previous guest, Investigator Meyer, said. Separation is critical. And, you know, that is spelled out in the ATF regulations based on the construction of the magazine or the warehouse, which really is not a term we use for display product. There might be a process building or a packing building, or storage, which is typically in a type 1 or type 4 magazine, but the regulations specify a table of distance based on the net explosive weight that magazine is authorized to hold. And ATF establishes those limits for the individual magazines. And they come and do annual inspections. They will conduct inventory. They want to know that you did not exceed the maximum amount of net explosive weight in that building. The other primary code is the National Fire Protection Code 1124, which is the code for manufacture, transportation, and storage of fireworks and pyrotechnic articles. It mirrors the requirements of ATF, but it also has some additional, what I'd say, best practices included in it. California does not adopt NFPA standards. And that's one thing that I've been advocating for as part of the CAL FIRE General Advisory Committee. We're in the round of making revisions to the Title 19 regulations. And there have been a number of suggestions of specific clauses, not so much on storage, but some other issues dealing with display fireworks, that I feel very passionate about, that the NFPA provisions should be adopted in California.
Mm. I mean, you mentioned that the company that's involved in this explosion is not a member of your association, which is a large one for pyrotechnics. It's also been reported that this company and the facility did have a valid state license, and that was confirmed by CAL FIRE, but the owner and the CEO was denied a federal permit from ATF, and that is obviously at the federal level. And then locally, Yolo County officials said that the company had no local licenses to store fireworks on the property or a business license. How can all of that exist? Is that, how uncommon is it actually? Is that a red flag?
This is a huge red flag. I'm completely perplexed by this. I don't know how you could have a state license for professional display fireworks and not have a valid ATF license. You know, states are allowed to be more restrictive than the federal regulations, but they are never supposed to be less. And I think this is going to be an issue in front of the CAL FIRE General Advisory Fireworks Committee. There are a number of us who are very passionate about closing this loophole. It should not exist.
Well, tell us about this committee that you're part of through CAL FIRE. It's an advisory committee. Who makes up this committee and what exactly do you do?
Well, the State Fire Marshal's Office has a particular committee, CAL FIRE General Advisory Fireworks Committee, and individuals are, you submit an application. It's based on qualifications. You are appointed to serve. And the past couple of years, we've been working on revisions to the fireworks regulations, as well as some of the licensing requirements and also the fees. And so we've made great progress in moving forward on some revisions to the regulations. We have a meeting next month, I believe. I think this accident is going to be top of the agenda. Everybody wants to know how in the world something like this could happen.
I know it's still early in the investigation. A cause is unknown, but what do you think the industry could learn from this deadly explosion?
Well, I think part of that's going to be what comes out of it. But, you know, compliance. Clearly, there was no real table of distance separating all of this material. And, you know, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, OSHA regulations back in the late 70s, were modified for manufacturing because there was a significant accident out in Oklahoma where the entire plant was destroyed. And I believe there were like 27 people who were killed. The regulations were modified to separate everything so that if you're manufacturing, you can never have more than 500 pounds of pyrotechnic composition in a process building at one time, never more than two people working in that building at one time, and then a table of distance separating all the buildings for storage. Where's the office? Because it's occupied with people. Everything has to be separated so you don't have the domino effect when and if something goes wrong. And we had the domino effect in Esparto, unfortunately. And my heart and prayers go out to the families and the victims involved.
Julie, thank you so much for taking the time and sharing your expertise.
Well, thank you for having me. We look forward to hearing the results of the investigation.
Julie Heckman is the executive director of the American Pyrotechnics Association and a member of CAL FIRE's General Fireworks Advisory Committee. We've been talking about the ongoing investigation into last week's deadly explosion at a fireworks facility in Esparto, which killed seven people and injured two others. Up next, for those drawn to true crime and CSI, we'll learn how DNA analysis and forensics at crime scenes has changed over the last few decades. You're listening to Insight on CAP Radio, where facts matter and stories inspire. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.